Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to NFL Live. The NFL released its international schedule for the 2022 season today. It starts in London at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium with the Vikings taking on the Saints October 2nd. Then following that week, the Giants and Packers head over to Tottenham Stadium where Green Bay will be playing in its first regular season international game in franchise history. We head back to London again on October 30th. This time, Wembley Stadium, the Broncos and Russell Wilson taking on the Jags and Trevor Lawrence. That one exclusively on ESPN+. Then the NFL will host its first ever regular season game in Germany. The Buccaneers and Tom Brady facing off against the Seahawks. And to wrap it all up, we get an NFC West showdown at Estadio Azteca in Mexico City with the 49ers and Cardinals squaring off on Monday Night Football right here on ESPN. We actually get to talk about real games today, guys. Can you tell I'm excited? Marcus Spears and Robert Griffin III are here for the hour. Later, Marcus is going to rank his top five rookie edge rushers. Some great ones in the draft. Find out who makes his list. But let's get back to the games, you guys. This is a whole lot of fun. The Seahawks and Buccaneers won't play in Germany until November, but both teams have some big storylines entering this upcoming season. For Tampa, Tom Brady returning for his 23rd season, and Todd Bowles entering his first season as head coach for the Bucs after spending the last three as their defensive coordinator. As for Seattle, it's all about the quarterback competition between Geno Smith and Drew Lock, because they still haven't added another QB to that room. So, Marcus, the Seahawks have Drew Lock and Geno Smith as their options right now at quarterback. What do you make of that situation for them? Blink twice.
Not good. Listen, I don't want to throw no shade. It's May. Everybody should be happy. The springtime is in. I don't want to throw no shade, okay? But based on what I've seen from Drew Lock up until this point, the Seattle Seahawks are in a bad situation, okay? Geno came in at when Russ was hurt and made some good plays. But let me not lie to the people like Pete Carroll going to do all offseason, all preseason, all camp. He going to tell us how great Drew Lock is and how much he's progressed and how good of a quarterback he's become. Boogie and RG3, I will believe it when I see the season begin. They just let a future Hall of Famer walk out the door, okay? And now he's on here talking about Drew Lock has a lot of talent, which we all agree. I watched him at Missouri. He has a tremendous amount of talent. It just ain't showed the hell up in the NFL yet. So, RG3, you tell me, as the resident quarterback today, how do you feel about this situation at quarterback?
Yeah, Swaggoo, I got to say, you make a lot of valid points, but I think Geno's actually going to end up being the guy for the Seahawks. He played well down the stretch in October when Russell Wilson was hurt, and I feel like they've already said that he has the inside track to do that. But Geno or Drew Lock having an opportunity to start in this league is proof that it's not just about your ability that gives you a chance to be a starter in the NFL. If that was true, Baker Mayfield would be a starter somewhere, Colin Kaepernick would be a starter somewhere, and Vince Young, who has a winning record as a starting quarterback, would be a starter somewhere. Oftentimes, it's more about who you know and what teams are trying to do. The Seattle Seahawks will never admit, but they are playing for next year. And the only way that they win games this year is if Geno Smith or Drew Lock become something that they have never been, and that's great quarterbacks.
Yeah. This is R3. This is RG Thrizzle knowing the game, okay? Because he knows that we got to keep it optimistic. We got to make sure people are engaged with the Seattle Seahawks. But let me, because Boogie and RG3, y'all know how I do it. I make it simple and plain for people, okay? If I told you you were coming into an NFL season and your QB room was Drew Lock, Geno Smith, and Jacob Eason, how in the hell would you feel about your team this year?
Not great.
Okay, so we're going to keep it 100 on. We're going to keep it 100 on NFL Live to start from the jump.
Prayers
don't
up
nobody
to
feel good about the quarterback situation.
Prayers up to Mina Kimes, who is a Seahawks fan. I just, really quickly, Robert, what do we
she
feel about RG Thrizzle as a nickname? Are we in on that one, or Because I might use it if we are, but.
Swagoo's not the first person to call me RG Thrizzle. My strength coach in college also did. He called me three stacks as well. But Kenneth Walker, he's the key for the Seahawks. Kenneth Walker, that's the key. They got to run the ball, hand it to little man, let him go.
And listen, he can handle that if that ends up being the game plan. Robert, what about the Bucs? Are they the favorite in the NFC in your mind?
Yeah, I think the Bucs, without Gronk, they're a contender in the NFC. But with him, if he comes back, they are the favorites. They did a great job in the draft. They ended up replacing Ali Marpet, who retired, by going out and getting Luke Gadecki. They brought another big body pass rusher, as my guy Swagoo loves, who can rush inside and outside, yes, and Logan Hall. And they also went and got a third down back in Rashad White, who can hit the home run, and he can catch the ball out of the backfield and possibly out of the slot. So when I look at the Bucs now, if Gronk comes back, Tom Brady threw 48 touchdowns and zero interceptions in the red zone with Gronk on the field the past couple seasons in Tampa Bay, and they've been the number one red zone offense in the league when Gronk is there. So I look at the Bucs and I say, these Pirates look like they're ready to steal all the booty at the end of the season.
Oh, man.
Damn, Thrizzle. Damn. This is the first disagreement, and it may be more in the hour, but I got the Rams. Okay, and because, look, I like what the Bucs are, okay, and betting against Brady is not wise. We've learned that for years, okay? But I'm starting to not bet against Aaron Donald, all right? I know everybody excited about, okay, Matthew Stafford being there, and rightfully so, but I'm starting not to bet against 99, especially in games when it's all on the line. But in the Bucs situation, the one thing I'm concerned with, and you brought it up, RG3, is not about replacing Marpet and those guys, because it's difficult to do. It's about who you're protecting, okay? And we're talking about Tom Brady, who in his career, and I know everybody gets tired of saying this because he's the GOAT, but in his career, interior pressure has been his issue. The Bucs have to be solidified in those two guard spots that's been departed, and make sure that they get that part right. Because if they do, obviously it's not wise to bet against Tom Brady.
Marcus, I can't believe you just skated right past Pirates booty, but I do want to point something out. Robert was talking about Gronk coming back. I saw him at the draft. We interviewed him for the draft broadcast, and I asked him specifically if he was coming back. Yeah. Of course, he avoided the question, but he also slipped in there, if the Bucs were to draft a tight end, that wouldn't affect him one way or the other. I just got the sense that maybe he's coming back. It's just my opinion. I don't know. What?
Boogie, you did an interview with Gronk in Vegas. You know he ain't know what the hell was going on. He probably ain't know who you was.
He was probably on number 12 or 13. It was at like 11 a.m., so I'm sure he knew exactly where he was. All right, let's get to more international games as we carry on with our release of this schedule. The Giants and Packers face off in London. Green Bay looking to fill the void on offense from Davante Adams' departure and take another step forward on the defensive side of the ball with the additions of first-round draft picks Quay Walker and Devontae Wyatt. In New York, all eyes on Daniel Jones, who's entering the final year of his rookie contract. And here's Giants head coach Brian Daboll on WFAN radio on Jones.
These first 3.5 weeks that I've been around him, I've been impressed with his work ethic, his leadership, even when he's with the guys. We just had a little football school right now. Does a good job in the huddle. I want him to be himself as well, too. Mm-hmm. And I want him to, not be afraid of consequences and pull the trigger and attack and have a positive mindset and continue to grow and learn. And I want him to have some ownership as to what he feels comfortable with as well.
We now welcome in Jeff Darlington, who is wiping. Jeff, okay, we caught you on camera doing that, so we got to address it. Apparently, you had an accident or an incident pre-show. What happened?
Yeah, I blame my mom. She told me last week that I didn't shave and then my face looked dirty, so I shaved right before the show and I cut my face, so now I got blood all over my face, Laura, and we're going to fight through it.
All right, so Jeff's playing
fight
hurt
through
here.
This adversity.
Jeff's playing hurt on the show. Let's talk about the Giants as we try to move on from that moment. What are the plans for Daniel Jones, Jeff?
The plans are for him to be the starting quarterback of the Giants this coming season. We're off the rails already. Look, Joe Shane made very clear to me, the general manager of this team, that this was Daniel Jones' job from the beginning. They didn't go into this offseason with the plan to draft a quarterback. They didn't go in to try to sign one in free agency. They knew all along that they were going to give DJ, as he put it, his shot this season. Now, I do find it amusing when I hear Brian Daboll, who I admire and love, saying that Daniel Jones, he hopes, will play without the fear of consequences. This is a guy, by the way, the Giants did not pick up his fifth-year option, so the only consequences he has for playing poorly is his entire livelihood and his career. But, you know, play without the fear of consequences, you know, Laura?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, Jeff, you're exactly right, right? Daniel Jones is playing for his football life, but if there's anybody that can get it out of him, like that greatness that he might have, because he has all the tools, right? He's got the arm strength, got the mobility, got the size. It's going to be Brian Daboll. Now, Daniel Jones is not Josh Allen, but what he was able to do with Josh Allen shows you that he can develop a quarterback, and there aren't very many guys in the league who can. The only thing I disagree with Brian Daboll about is he said he wants Daniel Jones to be himself, and I think that's dead wrong. I think Daniel Jones needs to be a whole nother person, because he seems like the type of guy that you could slap him in the face and he would go tell the manager. He wouldn't step up for himself or stand up for himself. And I think Daniel Jones needs to approach this season as if he's going to have some gamma radiation, turn into the Incredible Hulk, and go take out all the frustrations of not having the guys around him and having consistency around him, not having consistent coaching, and then also everyone not believing him and not getting his fifth year option exercise. I think if he takes all that anger and funnels it onto the field, he can go out there and let that dog hunt and prove everybody wrong.
No doubt, RG3. I'm Thrizzle. I'm glad you went to the psychological part, because that's the part for me. Like, the one thing we've talked about ad nauseum with Daniel Jones is his inability in crunch moments late in games to settle himself and not panic and turn the football over. That's been his issue. And everybody talks about, like, Brian Daboll is coming in, and we saw what gives you optimism is the fact that Josh Allen took the type of jump that he took in Buffalo. But ultimately, what RG Thrizzle just pointed out is the psychology of Daniel Jones. He has to stop panicking with the football under pressure. My man HB, Buggy, our great researcher, gave me this as we were talking about, look at this. 7-9 INTD to interception ratio. Sack percentage 22-26 in the league. And last in fumbles. And I guarantee you, like the tape watchers we are on this show, if you go back and you look at Daniel Jones's games throughout the season, there are multiple times when you say, man, this dude got enough talent to play at the highest level like any of the rest of them. But oh, do we know it's coming?
Yeah.
We know, just like Jimmy Garoppolo, we know it's coming. Like, at some point, he's going to give the ball to the other team, and it's probably going to cost his team the game. That's what Brian Daboll has to fix about Daniel Jones, mentality and psychology of the guy.
And Swagger, one of the things that Dan Orlovsky's pointed out many times in this show as well, similar to what you're saying, is the fact that the panicking in the pocket was something he was doing in college too. So that was expected.
Yeah.
Still need to see if it can get corrected. If there's anyone to do it, to y'all's point, Brian Daboll's got his work cut out for him. All right.
May the fourth be with you.
Thank you for that. All right, so we got some more NFL news for you guys. Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, our new Monday Night Football broadcast team, will join Good Morning America, their crew, to reveal this season's biggest ABC ESPN Monday Night Football matchup. Monday, May 9th is when this happens, between 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern. The full schedule release will be Thursday, May 12th at 8 Eastern on ESPN2, ESPN Plus, and NFL Network. But check out Joe and Troy on Good Morning America. We got a lot more coming your way here on NFL Live, so keep it locked right here as we get into everything related to these international games. The schedule is fascinating, and we'll talk about all the storylines as the NFL packs its bags. Also, we're going to talk about the best in this class. Mel Kiper Jr. is joining us to tell us more about the draft. We're going to give out some draft grades, and Marcus has a lot to say about the Jets. Find out exactly what that's going to be. NFL Live is brought to you by Marvel Studios' Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, only in theaters Friday.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Don't miss this. All 10 episodes of Tom Brady's Man in the Arena are streaming now on ESPN Plus. You can binge watch this whole thing or take your time with it. Either way, it's great. We're back on NFL Live, and Mel Kiper Jr. gave the Patriots draft a C+. That's tied with the Cowboys for the worst grade by any team as we look back on some draft grades. And listen, Mel's on to something. Their first round selection was Chattanooga guard Cole Strange. As many have made this joke, it was Strange. Mel ranked Strange as a 69th overall prospect. So how about the Dolphins? They got a B- as we look at this division. Miami didn't pick until the third round as most of its draft capital went to the Chiefs in the Tyreek Hill trade. But Kiper liked the selection of Georgia linebacker Channing Tindall. I like that selection too. The Bills have won the division in each of the last two seasons. Kiper gives their draft a B as Buffalo needed a need filled at cornerback. They did that by drafting Kyer Elam out of Florida. Also added the running back James Cook out of Georgia. Jets had the best draft of any team in the NFL, potentially. New York drafted Kiper's top-ranked cornerback, wide receiver, and running back, and also got a potential steal toward the end of the first round in Jermaine Johnson. I think he's going to make some people pay for sliding a little bit. Mel joining us now. Mel, glad to have you. Did the Jets do enough in the draft, though, to gain on the competition in the AFC East?
I'll start strong because I got to deal with Marcus. Hell yes, Laura,
Woo,
they did.
A
great job in the draft, and they definitely closed the gap. There's no question about that. They are potentially, guys, the second best team in this division. They need incredible luck, not good luck, incredible luck on the injury front, which they have not had. They made impactful days, not only draft, but free agency. So impactful performances, free agency, the draft last year and this year. Just stay healthy. And I think the key, obviously, is going to be Mekhi Becton at left tackle, getting Carl Lawson opposite Jermaine Johnson the second, and Zach Wilson. It all boils down to in year two, what type of leap will Zach Wilson take? We saw him cut down on the interceptions the last five games, 3 touchdowns, no picks, Marcus. If Zach Wilson can make that quantum leap in year two, the Jets with a difficult schedule could be second in this division. If he doesn't, they're in the cellar. So it's all up to Zach Wilson. The talent around him on the defensive side is incredibly improved.
Mel, first of all, I'm just regaining my composure because I'm so proud of how you started that off. Like the feeling that I got when you said hell yeah was through the roof, okay? And then too, like to your point, we not gonna fight. And I like fighting with you every once in a while because I like when you get stirred up. But I'm with you on the Jets. Now, right now, Mel, I have their ceiling as 3. Mm-hmm. Because I do have Zach Wilson and Mac Jones and seeing what type of jump they'll make. But I can easily see them being in a better situation than the Miami Dolphins if Tua can exploit those weapons. And having McDaniel in as a new first-year head coach as well, it's going to be some adjustment there. But to your point, this is predicated on Zach Wilson. And also to your point, when you look at the draft, not just this year in particular, we all lauded and talked about how great Joe Douglas, the general manager for the Jets, were in this draft in particular, but last year was Vera Tucker. You talked about Zach Wilson, Mekhi Becton, Quinnen Williams. Remember, Carl Lawson was lost to an injury before this season started, but a lot of people were talking about how good he looked in camp. So from a personnel standpoint, Mel, I'm with you. This team can be as good if all of this stuff comes together and this young talent starts to do their thing. I'm just going to be patient on it coming together right now based on what we know Miami and also Buffalo to be.
Well, this is a time to be optimistic, guys. So don't look now, people, but the Jets look like they're ready for takeoff. They absolutely dominated the NFL draft. They went out and got a number one wide receiver in Garrett Wilson. They got a lockdown corner in Sauce Gardner. They went and got a pass rusher who plays like his hair is on fire with Jermaine Johnson. And then they also went and got a three-down back, Breece Hall, for Zach Wilson. So ultimately, yes, all of this is going to boil down to Zach Wilson's development. But I can tell you what, Joe Douglas is cooking with gas. And don't get it twisted. Yeah. He does look like Will Sasso. But nobody is making fun of what the moves that he is making with this Jets roster. So I just love what the Jets are doing. I know the Jets fans are excited about it, and they should be. Zach Wilson's got to step up his game in year two.
I think we got to trademark that. The Jets are ready for takeoff. Should we put a copyright on that one, Robert?
That's nice.
Pretty nice. It's one of your better ones. All right, y'all. Can I get a Mel? Yeah. Mel, yeah. All right. Oh, they went to bump. Dadgummit. All right. Coming up, Ryan Tannehill opened up about his thoughts on Tennessee drafting Malik Willis and losing his top target in A.J. Brown. Is the pressure mounting for him? Someone here thinks so. Find out next.
The talent level for Malik Willis is different from everybody else we're seeing.
You can be talented as you want to, but if you're not willing to work hard enough, then you'll never be the best you could possibly be. You're the face of a franchise, literally. You're the face of a city.
The Tennessee Titans select Malik Willis.
That could be a perfect fit in 2023 while he learns this year.
Took more time than we thought, but Malik Willis finally heard his name called to the Tennessee Titans, who, of course, already have a quarterback in Ryan Tannehill. Adam Schefter told us yesterday Tannehill had many sleepless nights after his poor playoff performance. But what does he think about Malik Willis?
Yeah, I texted Malik right after we drafted him as well. I wasn't informed of that beforehand, but same thing with AJ, right? The team's going to do the best thing that they think is best interest of the team. I don't think it's my job to mentor him, but if he learns from me along the way, then that's a great thing. When I first found out, I'm like, this isn't real. This isn't happening. It's a rumor. And then talked to AJ, found out it was real, and slept terrible that night, and kept thinking like it's just a bad dream. But that's where we're at.
We'll get back to the quarterback room aspect of this in a moment, but let's talk A.J. Brown. It's no surprise that the loss of him hurts Ryan Tannehill. Despite being a heavy rush offense, the Titans and Tannehill relied on Brown significantly in the passing game. In fact, on a per-route basis, Brown had the second-highest target percentage in the NFL over the last two seasons, behind only Devontae Adams. That paints a very clear picture. So, Robert, can Brown's production be replaced?
No, Laura, it can't be replaced. And the reason is that A.J. Brown was a proven player with proven chemistry with the quarterback and proven results in the offensive scheme of the Tennessee Titans. Now, they're going to try to replace his production with Robert Woods and a baby A.J. Brown and Treylon Burks, but they're not the same type of player. And they're two offensive guys learning a new system, trying to build chemistry with the quarterback. So when you look at A.J. Brown, he's such a special type of player that not only the quarterback loves him as a person, like all of his other teammates do, but on the field, he was a guy that he relied heavily on. So now they traded him away, and they have to live on with life without A.J. Brown.
Yeah, RG Thrizzle, you're right, man. I got to lean into Tannehill a little bit, and I understand where he's coming from when he says what he said out loud, but he has to understand the type of tone and the type of life that's going to take moving forward. He's already feeling pressure. Last year, we saw the playoff game with three interceptions where your defense sacked Joe Burrow 9 times. You're supposed to win those games. We talk about A.J. Brown departing and going to Philly, and A.J. looking like he just got the best thing that ever happened to him in his life, going to play with Jalen Hurts. And I never felt that type of love for him coming out of Tennessee with Ryan Tannehill. The second thing is this, y'all, and more importantly, is Malik Willis wasn't drafted because the Titans just like him as a person. They are asking themselves, yes, Ryan Tannehill has played good football for us. He's done a good job in the grand scheme of things. But is he a guy that can get us to the next level? And that next level is we're already a playoff team. Can we win a playoff game with our quarterback being the main focus? Because we talk about Derrick Henry so much, and Derrick Henry is phenomenal. And Derrick Henry has done more than most backs can do in this day and age. And even though with his injury, he was almost at 1,000 yards before he went out. But ultimately, people ain't winning Super Bowls because of their running back. And I know everybody hate to hear that. But the reality is Tennessee is looking to get better at the QB spot. And that's why Malik Willis was taken and Tannehill feeling pressure.
Well, and Swagoo, to your point there, I think that that's what's interesting about this. I think if we have a problem with Tannehill's messaging, that might be one thing. But we all know why Malik Willis was drafted. So to expect Absolutely. Ryan Tannehill to come in there and say, I'm going to do everything I can to put him in a position to succeed, also feels like a dose of missed reality. I would also say this. I don't think that Ryan Tannehill, I know Tannehill pretty well, and as much as people are trying to make it sound like he's this guy who's going to walk in the locker room and snub Malik Willis, I think a lot of guys say that they're willing to mentor younger players and don't. I think Tannehill will go the opposite way, and he'll probably be yeah. mentoring him without even realizing it. To that point, this is not something that we really don't see a lot of in the NFL. We see it all the time. Whether it was Brett Favre famously saying, it's not my job to mentor Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers eventually saying to Brett Favre, I understand why you said that now. Or Tom Brady with Jimmy Garoppolo. And I was actually thinking about this, and I don't want to put RG3 on the spot here. But I was thinking about it in the break. Robert, do you remember we had lunch one time at a Payway in South Florida? And you were telling me about a joint practice that you had with Tom Brady. Do you remember what you told me about that?
Yes, I asked Tom Brady if I could, you know, piggyback off of him and learn some stuff with him, go train with him, and he gave me a big old flat no. Because he said, listen, we're competing at the same position, even though we're on different teams, and he didn't want that to happen. So my whole take on this with Ryan Tannehill is verbalizing it is the issue. Because now we're talking about it. Yeah. So now it's becoming a recipe for disaster for the Tennessee Titans. Because as a leader, it is your job to mentor the young guys, to be one of those OGs that helps them along the way and gives them $1 million worth of game for free. If you're a leader and you're saying, hey, I'm not going to help the guy next to me, and you're verbalizing that, it can become a problem for your team. And leadership comes at the cost of ego. Yes. So in my opinion, Ryan Tannehill made the mistake of verbalizing it, and he's to leave his ego at the door. I don't think he's a bad teammate, but him verbalizing that now makes it a problem.
Yeah, this is a time when the truth really does hurt to put it out publicly like that, and that's a fascinating story about Brady. I feel like so often you might think in the back of Brady's mind he's thinking that, which this proves that, but he would never say it publicly like this. Guys, another reminder that Ryan Tannehill is signed through the 2023 season, but he has no guaranteed money left in his deal after this upcoming season. Back to our top story today. The NFL has released its international game schedule. You're looking at the games right there. The influence that this league has worldwide is so apparent. To the slate of the games, Vikings, Saints, let's go there. What are you guys watching in that one? Robert, we start with you.
Oh, yeah, I'm waiting to see how is Jameis Winston playing coming off of that ACL injury? How is Chris Olave working into the offense and flourishing, running those deep routes and catching the ball and running with it? Is Alvin Kamara even playing? And then how does Tyrann Mathieu, with his voice and his ability, mesh with guys like Demario Davis and Cam Jordan on that Saints defense? It's going to be fireworks for them. I'm excited to see it.
For me, RG3, I'm going back to the Saints, but it's all about winning the division. Is Jameis going to play at a high level? You drafted Chris Olave. You getting Michael Thomas back. We know what Alvin Kamara is out of the backfield. Defensively, though, this team has dominated the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's been the offense that's been a turnstile, obviously because of Jameis' injury last year. But with some consistency at the QB spot, I want to know if the Saints are going to be legit contenders, not only in the playoffs, but to make a run, but also in their own division, getting over the Bucs.
You know, Marcus, with this game, we can think about the macro and what it means to the season, as we should. But also, for London, they like action. They want to see American football played the way we love to see it, with big passing. And that's why I think this game actually plays out well. You got Jameis, but you also have Kirk Cousins, who deceptively tosses the ball about as much as anybody in the league. Threw for a quiet 4,300 yards last year, 33 touchdowns. So the biggest thing for me when it comes to this matchup is just these guys tossing the long ball and giving London a show.
I love it. October 2nd, Vikings Saints there in London, 9:30 a.m. Eastern. Marcus, what's next on NFL Live?
Oh, you already know what's popping. I'm about to rank these rookie edge rushers that were drafted in the draft this year. And y'all know how I do rankings. Y'all know how I do lists. Don't go any damn well. Wait for my list. We'll be right back.
Yeah. I'm finally on
up and up. Can I... Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
With the first pick, the Jacksonville Jaguars select Trayvon Walker.
When it comes to being a dominant football player, Trayvon Walker is that dude.
The Detroit Lions select Aiden Hutchinson.
His name is Aiden Hutchinson, and the pass rush is flawless.
This dude is just ready to make an impact day one in the NFL.
The New York football Giants select Kayvon Thibodeau.
Kayvon Thibodeau is a guy that has an enormous amount of talent.
I thought it was the best first round the Giants have had since they drafted Lawrence Taylor.
The New York Jets select Jermaine Johnson.
A guy that I believe is the purest pass rusher in this draft.
It's different. Now we're taking over the world.
Yo, this is funny. We're already getting tweets coming in of people trying to rank this list for you, Swagoo. But the reality is, y'all can tweet all you want, but he's the one that gets to rank the list right here, right now. Lots of edge rushers drafted early this year. Take us through your top five. Who's going to have the best rookie season? Let's start with number five.
And Boogie, you know what we say when people talk about our list. We do not care that you don't like the list. At number five, I'm going with George Karlaftis. I love this pickup from the Kansas City Chiefs to put somebody possibly on the interior to take pressure off of Chris Jones on the inside. When you look at Karlaftis, the one thing you see is really good hand usage, and I think he's going to rush very successfully from a three technique in the NFL, along with playing that outside defensive end spot at times for the Kansas City Chiefs. Number four, Trayvon Walker. Yeah, I know he was the first pick of the draft, but don't get your panties in a bunch, people. This is about what positions he will play. I don't think he'll be 100% of the time at edge rusher for the Jacksonville Jaguars, which may cost him as far as getting sacks like these other guys that'll rush probably 100 more times than he will throughout the course of this season. But I do think he'll be highly productive, and I do believe there's some rawness to him that they need to address as he grows along as a defender. I'm going Aiden Hutchinson at number three. And listen, I believe this dude is as ready as they come to dominate from the edge in the NFL. My one cause for concern, he will be the guy on this Detroit Lions defensive line. He will get extra attention from every team that they play against. Now, that doesn't mean he won't be productive, but I put him at number three because I think he may see more double teams than any of these guys that's coming into the league right now. At number two, I'm going Kayvon Thibodeau. The New York football Giants got something right, y'all, in this draft. And I believe this kid, just his energy, his get off is what's elite. He has a knack for working half of a man off of an edge. He understands the NFL pass rush because of the speed in which he gets off the ball with. His hand usage is phenomenal, and I think Kayvon Thibodeau is going to have success because he will have guys next to him that will command attention. And last but not least, and Boogie, you knew where the hell I was going.
I knew it.
Jermaine Johnson. Think about this for a second, y'all. They get him late, so the pressure is not there. I believe he is the purest pass rusher that came out of this class. Is he the best football player out of the edge rushers? I don't know. I think he's the best pass rusher out of these guys based on his hand usage. But when I think about the New York Jets, and the reason why we had that conversation earlier, Quinnen Williams is also on that defensive line. Carl Lawson will be coming back off of an injury, who was tearing up training camp, who will command a lot of attention. Jermaine Johnson may get more one-on-ones than any of these guys I have on this list. And based on what he did in college against one-on-ones, I expect him to have a highly productive year being an outside pass rusher for the New York Jets.
Y'all are scaring me because y'all are making me think the Jets are going to be good. All right, but Mel, let's dunk on this list a little bit. Who would you have at number one?
Laura, I love the role reversal because usually my list and my rankings are going to be attacked by everybody, so I can go on the attack now a little bit. But Marcus Wagyu did a great job because there's method to the madness. Wagyu always gives you in-depth knowledge, and he thought this out, and he said, who has guys around him? And that's what he's thinking about. What's the talent like around that guy? So it can't be just 1-1. It can be maybe double, chipping, and all that. But I think Aiden Hutchinson, Swagoo's going to find a way. He's going to bring an attitude. He's going to change everything. They already changed that culture with Dan Campbell. This is a team on the cusp of doing some really good things. I know it's dangerous to say about the Lions, but they are close. And Aiden Hutchinson will find a way. Talk about hand usage, varying pass rush moves, bending the edge. He does all that. 14 sacks was a school career record. He brings an attitude and energy. I'm going to go with Aiden Hutchinson. I call him the chalk of this group. I'll go Aiden Hutchinson having the best year of all the rookie pass rushers.
Mel, I'm not going to fight you because it was turmoil not to put him number one on this list. But, you know, I always talk about this, and you know this, Mel, as well as anybody, but Boogie hears me say this, and Thrizzle, you hear me say this too. Defensive line is a lot like a basketball team. And I don't think people look at it that way. We look at these individual guys that get these gaudy sack numbers, but we very rarely look at the guys that are around them commanding that type of attention as well. It's not coincidental that most three techniques or most defensive tackles that play with Aaron Donald usually go somewhere and get paid. Okay? It's not a coincidence that you revive your career around certain guys. I just look at these guys' situations. And I think Aiden is going to be a very hard road to carry because every offense is going to say, we got to double team this guy.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. Let's see if we can throw Swagoo's list back up there when Robert gets on the screen. But, Robert, who would you have number one?
Well, Laura, we all know that Aiden Hutchinson is going to be biting kneecaps in Detroit with Dan Campbell as head coach. But I love the way that Swagoo broke this down because it is. It is about who these guys have next to him, but it's also about who's calling the plays. So I'm going to go with Kayvon Thibodeau as my number one pass rusher. This guy said he's going to take over the world, not just the United States, the world. And I saw the way that Sam Prince, the Make-A-Wish kid, celebrated when Kayvon was selected. And Kayvon, I think, has the best first step. I think that Don Wink Martindale is going to be able to get him in those blitz packages, have him in those spinner sets to where they don't know where he's going to be at. He can line up all over the place. And when you partner him with Leonard Williams and Ojulari on that defensive front, I think Kayvon Thibodeau is going to prove everybody wrong. And he's already mad. I saw him on the stage at NFL Live during the draft. That man has presence. He has a tenacity about him, and he's going to take it out on all the quarterbacks in the league.
Boogie, you know what the worst thing about being on this show and working with these dudes? They so damn smart, and they make you think about your list, but I'm not going to change my list. If you and Mel RG Thrizzle want to make a list, make your own damn list. This is my list. Both of y'all make great points, though, and I could see those scenarios playing out that way. But this man, they asked me to do it. This man, this where I'm going.
Hey, on your list, Swagoo. I like that you put Carl Loftus on there, too. I think some people are overlooking him a little bit, and we really like the way that he plays. We got a lot more coming your way on NFL Live. This has been a whole lot of fun, and it is not over yet. After the break, the 49ers travel to Mexico City to face the Cardinals. But who will be quarterbacking the team when the game comes? The latest on Jimmy G and Deebo Samuel is next. Keep it right here. The NFL released its international schedule for the 2022 season today, and it starts in London at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium with the Vikings taking on the Saints on October 2nd. Then the following week, the Giants and Packers head over to Tottenham Stadium, where Green Bay will be playing in its first regular season international game in franchise history. We head back to London again on October 30th, but this time at Wembley Stadium, with the Broncos and Russell Wilson taking on the Jaguars and Trevor Lawrence exclusively on ESPN+. Then the NFL will host its first ever regular season game in Germany at Allianz Arena with the Buccaneers and Tom Brady facing the Seahawks. To wrap it all up, we get an NFC West showdown at Estadio Azteca in Mexico City with the 49ers and Cardinals squaring off on Monday Night Football right here on ESPN. Can't wait for all of that. And so many question marks surrounding both of those teams. Let's start with San Francisco, Jeff, because we're still trying to figure out what's going on with Deebo Samuel. What does his future look like?
Well, Laura, we're definitely in a much more complicated phase, if that's even possible, after the draft than we were before it. Because now when it comes to potentially trading Deebo Samuel, something that he continues to want, this is a scenario where compensation obviously would get very interesting because you don't know exactly what you're getting if you're the 49ers if you were to make that trade. That being said, the 49ers aren't even going down that road because they have no intentions, they're saying, of trading Deebo Samuel. Kyle Shanahan saying essentially he believes that we can work out anything when it comes to figuring out the turmoil between Deebo and Kyle Shanahan. I would say, from my understanding, is that Deebo is very firmly in the ground on this, and I'm not sure that he feels exactly the same. So that's something that I don't know that Deebo is really willing to get past. And he's still not saying exactly what it is that has caused him to request this trade. I can just tell you from what I understand, it's something that he believes very passionately in and believes that he is not going to stray away from.
Guys, this is very simple. The 49ers, the San Francisco 49ers need Deebo Samuel more than he needs them. So if I'm Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, I'm begging Deebo to stay, right? I'm buying him a Bugatti. I'm going to go pay his taxes. I might even go do some yard work. Let him call plays for a couple series or a couple games. The bottom line is that Deebo Samuel is a proven player, and his value to the San Francisco 49ers is astronomical, and he knows he can go do what he did for them somewhere else, and that's exactly why Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch should be singing like David Ruffin from the Temptations, pleading for Deebo to stay and begging him not to leave San Francisco.
Yeah, Robert, there was a lot there.
It
all tied together.
Some fake
like beautiful, those temps.
Deebo Samuel.
Marcus, let's talk about the quarterback side of all this. We're still trying to figure out exactly what's going on with Jimmy Garoppolo. Yeah. Who should, though, be playing quarterback for San Francisco at that point in the season? Reminder, this game is October 30th, I believe. November 23rd, close enough. Go ahead, Marcus.
Something like that, Laura.
Boogie, don't ask me the date. I don't even know what today is. But
here,
Sir Lancelot should be the quarterback since we got nicknames flying around. Trey Lance should be the quarterback. Look, the clock got to start at some point. You gave up 3 first-round picks for this guy. Like, I know it's popular to say Jimmy Garoppolo is still there. He hasn't been traded yet. I think he made it clear that he expects to be on another team. It's Trey Lance's time. Like, if Kyle Shanahan is the coach that we believe he is, if John Lynch is the GM that we believe he is, then they have to manifest this decision that they made to draft Trey Lance after giving up so much compensation and have him be the quarterback in waiting. Now, as far as the time clock, if you just come into camp and Jimmy Garoppolo is playing lights out and you haven't went through with a trade yet, that's something to think about. But at some point, you have to validate what you gave up in order to get Trey Lance. And the bottom line is, with this team currently constructed the way that they are, what we think about this coaching staff, Trey Lance should be prepared and ready to play football this upcoming season.
Oh, the San Francisco 49ers have no choice but to start Trey Lance. I know Kyle Shanahan like the back of my hand, and he's going to run 2 separate offenses for Trey Lance and for Jimmy Garoppolo. So if Jimmy Garoppolo's not going to be out there during the offseason because he can't physically throw a football right now, Trey Lance is going to be the quarterback who's getting all the reps. And what he can do with his arm and his legs, Kyle Shanahan, I don't want to say is going to exploit that, but he is going to lean heavily on that, and this offense is not going to look like anything that you saw the last couple of years with Jimmy Garoppolo at the helm. They invested so much into Trey Lance, so as my man Swagoo said, it's time for Lancelot to get on the horse and see what he can do.
Oh, I think we got something there with Lancelot. That's really good, getting on the horse, giddy up. Time for one more thing on our international slate, guys. A fan responded to Phil Yates' tweet on the Germany game asking if the NFL Live crew gets to go to Germany. and really wanting to see if we could see Swagoo in lederhosen. So, of course, we took our liberties there. We
what
made that happen.
What
Look
is
at
that?
You, Swagoo. You're ready. You're ready.
Oh, my God.
He's ready for Germany.
Wow. Hey. They didn't put the intermittent fasting Swagoo up there, but I forgive them. Yeah, let's go. ESPN, cut the check.
They
send us the Milton. I will
like
go out there and
man.
Call
Come
the game.
On.
Okay,
man,
so
I'm clean.
RG,
I'm clean. That's,
go,
hey, that's what I'm going to wear to the Met Gala next year.
I'm
going to wear that to the Met Gala next year. That's
it
what
doesn't
I'm
matter
wearing.
What the theme is. You're wearing that outfit, and you're holding that beer, and you're ready to go.
Hey, Jeff Darlington, get your face off TV. It's dirty, according to your mom.
See you tomorrow.